Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 111. Tonight, I have a good friend here in Boquete, Pastor Josh Kurth, with me tonight. Josh, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you for having me, Andrew. It's such a blessing to be back with you guys again.
Well, we're just looking back how long it's been since you were on the program, and it's back in June of last year. I was kind of, wow.
Yeah, time flies. Time flies when you're having fun.
So I brought you on the program tonight because so many things have happened in the last year. We've seen so many things happen with people that have come here and the changes that have happened in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's very encouraging to see the blessing on people's lives when they are willing to obey and do whatever God's told them to do. And it goes for all of us, for you as well. I've seen God really do some amazing changes in your life and growing you as a pastor. This is something that you stepped out in faith to do. You didn't really know exactly what God had in store, but you began to felt the impression of what he wanted you to do. And you know, stepped out of the boat, and the water actually held you up.
Amen.
But I want you to just share a little bit about just, you know, the transition that went on from the fact that you came here and you're sitting at Valley Escondido, I think you said tonight, that you were with Daniel Daves, and you said, you know, I'm not supposed to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Share a little bit about that, because I don't think you shared that before.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I felt a call to leave, and we came on this journey, but you know, we started off thinking we were going to be in Costa Rica. Dr. Daves was there, and he didn't want to influence God's voice in our lives in any way. So when we got to and arrived to Costa Rica, you know, my wife just had a resounding no come from the Lord and that this was not for us. So, you know, what do you do? I kind of was like, okay, God, we're stuck over here in Costa Rica now for the next week or two, and having no idea what was going to happen next. So we call our friend, Dr. Daves, and he said, well, we're going on a vacation to Panama. Why don't you come with us for a week and hang out? And well, we didn't have any other options, I guess. So we jumped in the car with them, and little did we know that the Lord would speak to us while we're there and say, you know, this is where you're supposed to be. This is where I've called you, and gave us specific instructions of what and who we would be ministering to. So we shared that with Dr. Daves, and he said, well, we didn't want to tell you, but we're moving here as well. And it just so happens that we all showed up here within a month or two of each other, and God has been blessing us ever since.
Well, you know, it's amazing that how when you step out in faith and trusting God just to do what he's called you to do, that there's almost like dormant gifts inside of you that are just waiting for you to land in the right spot doing what you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden these giftings come out of you that you didn't know you had before. A lot of things that I'm doing in my life is just a result of me going where God called me to go. And then the opportunities are there waiting on me. These things that are, if the opportunities have come across my life, have never happened where I lived before. I had to go to find those opportunities that God was waiting on me, almost like everything was laid out for me to just to go where God called me to go. And, you know, I look back and the things, the events that were happening in my life, starting with me waking up one morning and I hear the words, your nest is in the wrong forest. Mm-hmm. And then that disturbed me enough to realize I'm not supposed to be here anymore. And then I traveled on the road for almost 10 years doing trade shows and selling equipment all over the northwest part of the United States for automotive repair. And I'm coming back from a trade show somewhere, I think it was Michigan, and I'm driving across North Dakota, you know, with nowhere's, I mean, it's just flat land and just heading through, not thinking about anything. And all of a sudden I hear the words, this is the last road trip you'll ever take. And I'm thinking, I've done this for 10 years. How can that be? And this was I was just getting ready to leave on our exploratory trip to come down here. And then we got our confirmation that this is where we're supposed to come. And it was just a matter of selling everything we owned. So that was what took place for the next 2 months. And I never went on another road trip again. And wow. And what God spoke to me was fulfilled. I didn't fulfill it because, oh, I got it. It just happened because God was just preparing me, showing me that there was a new plan that was going to happen now. And I think a lot of times God just is waiting for us to listen to him.
Yes.
What is the new plan? Are you willing to have your little world rocked and what everything has ever happened to you before, the way it's always happened? Can God change things on you and adjust maybe your future with a word like, this is the last road trip you'll ever take. This is where I want you to be now. What? Wait, that means that if we're supposed to be here, that means I have to leave the States. That means I got to leave my family and whatever, you know, my That's job. Right. So tell us a little bit about how all that kind of transition actually you had to sort through all that because you'd had a job in a school district, I think, for a number of years. So a lot of your provision that had always come a certain way was going about to change. And how did you sort through that? I know it was a matter of trust, but just tell how you had to process that change of a relocation.
You said a lot of good things in that. And a lot of the times the word of the Lord comes to us with something very short, like go. And that's really what it came down to for us. And financially, it is a big concern because, you know, we kind of had our head in the sand with a lot of the things that was going on around us. We were chasing, you know, the dream of go to college, you get a good degree and you get a job and work your way up. And that's exactly what my wife and I were doing. We're both have higher education degrees and working towards building a career in the school districts. And when the Lord says go, you know, you just have to be obedient to that. And I knew we weren't happy with where I was with the Lord. And so, you know, we did have to trust in him because there was no 2-year, 3-year plan for missionary school and raising support and doing all these things. And with us being a lack of knowledge, I think in some of the areas of what was going on around us, it was just a willingness to get out of the boat and trust God and know that he can use our giftings wherever he placed us. And you said that, you know, so many people's gifts are lying dormant. And I think a lot of that is, you know, we're waiting on God. We're waiting on God. God just used my gift. But a lot of the times it's God is waiting on us. He's looking for people to pick up the equipment, pick up the tools that he has before them and be able to run with it because, you know, our gifts will make room for themselves. But we have to be willing to pick up the mantle, to pick up what God has before us and then run with that and trust that he'll provide and open up the doors. And just because it's a good idea doesn't always mean it's a God idea. We have to be able to trust that we're hearing from the Lord and not always rely on everyone else's voice, because that was one of the big things that we had to step back and rely on, is that God was speaking to us. He wasn't speaking to our pastor. He wasn't speaking to our parents. He wasn't speaking to our other leadership. It was God was speaking directly to us, and we had to trust the voice that God was speaking to us. And, you know, I'm very careful with saying what God said and what God told me, because God's not a schizophrenic God. He's not wishy-washy. So I think that's a lot of the problems with us, is that we say, well, God told me, and then I change. God didn't change. It was me. You know, we have to be bold enough to say, this is what I believe the Lord is speaking to me. And at this point in my life, this is what I'm going to run with and trust God.
You know, sometimes you don't really know it was God until the evidence that manifests out of your obedience to do what he's called you to do. Like you said, sometimes I believe the Lord's saying for me to do this, but we'll find out, you know?
Yes.
Because it was, again, just like the same thing with you and me, is that when the Lord told us to go, that he had a new, you know, like there's a plan out there beyond. It wasn't that we were just leaving, but we were going. And yes, we were going with a purpose in mind, that God was calling us and that he had a purpose in mind. You know, the children of Israel, you know, they left Egypt, but they didn't realize God was taking them to someplace. It wasn't just, you know, another day marching across a bunch of sand. there was a purpose, there was a destination and a destiny that God was taking him to. And this is a part of the thing that I find is that God is working a lot of us, a lot of stuff out of us through the process. Yes. As we go through this wilderness, going across this desert. We're just walking out obedience day by day, trusting God's manna falls from heaven. And it's amazing how the provision that God has made for all of us here. You started a church a little over a year ago. And it's just like we were just mentioning tonight, we were talking about this, the team of people that God has brought around you. It's like, you know, here you are, I think you were a youth pastor. This is something you've never done before.
Correct.
But yet you have people in ministry that have been in ministry for a long time that has come to support you. And this is another thing that I'm finding is that, you know, he's just asking for obedience. He's not calling, you know, well, I never went to a, I just got placed as a pastor myself with the Assembly of God, the Panamanian church here. And I haven't gone through pastor school and all this kind of stuff. You know, God can just circumvent all of man's routes. If you'll just be obedient do what he's called you to do, there's not this 4-year program that you got to go through to be qualified. God calls the qualified, the obedient, and that's all you have to do. And you watch God open doors that no man can shut.
That's right.
And this is, I want you to share a little bit about not only the church that God is really using as a feeding ground, I believe, for many people that are coming here because they need a word. You know, it's like me when I was about ready to leave on my exploratory trip to come here. The kids wanted to go to a couple different churches in town where we lived. And I said, guys, I don't want to just hear a good sermon today. I need a word from the Lord.
Yes.
I have to know, is this decision I'm making to take my family to another land, is that the right one? And sure enough, the church that we went to, I felt like the Lord impressed me upon me to go to that morning. The word of the Lord came through this man, which confirmed the decision that I was about to make was the right one. And I've noticed the gifting that I don't know if you've always operated in this, but the prophetic that you operate in is just absolutely feeds a hungry soul with a word that they need to hear, a now word, because they're coming almost desperate to hear, Lord, is this the right choice? What, you know, I don't want to make a wrong choice. And you don't even know this person from Adam. And the Lord just anoints you with a prophetic word to give them. It's just, it's awesome.
You know, the church is hungry for a word from the Lord, and they're hungry so much that they're literally seeking out the prophetic. And the downfall to that is that it's creating a platform for the prophetic giftings, and people are feeling they have to perform. And you know, that's not how God works. And the gifting, so many times we put people, prophets, you know, the apostolic fivefold up on this pedestal, and not allowing them to truly function in the church. We put them up there, but then when they fall, or you know, God doesn't want any one person to be raised above any other. But there is an apostolic leadership that needs to come back to the forefront of the church, and part of that is just stirring up the dormant gifts. You know, Scripture tells us that in 2 Timothy that the gift has to be stirred up. You know, Paul was telling Timothy, you know, you have to stir up your gift. It's lying within you, but it has to be stirred up. And I don't want to get to preaching too much, but to stir up is to kindle to a fresh or keep a full flame. That means it takes work to keep that gifting active within our lives. And we look for God to give us opportunities, but in all reality, God is always moving around us. We're looking for a specific way, and we try to box God in. If all we do is look for how I can fit in, that's the problem. Instead of just seeing where God's moving and jump in and allow your gift to make room for itself. But we always look for, I think a problem within the church is we look to the pastor. We look to the one individual to be able to function. And you know what? I just believe the one man show of the pastor of the church is coming to an end, and the apostolic rise of the fivefold giftings is coming back to the church, and we're going to release people. And I think that's where the stirring up of the prophetic gift is coming so much real, or becoming more real, because when people come hungry, and we saw that with the Cuban refugees that we were ministering to. They come hungry looking for a word from the Lord. They're looking for that. And it's not easy. You know, the prophetic gift it makes us deal with reality very quickly.
Sure.
And though I'm looking for a word, it's how I handle how I receive that. You know, I receive that word, and, you know, I always give that precursor. If it does not apply to your life at this moment in time, to always take that word, put it up on the shelf and say, God, I'm just going to let this rest up here until you want it to be applied to my life. Because there's words I received years ago, and I said, it's never going to be applicable to my life. It was prophesied that my two daughters that we'd be having children. My wife and I looked at each other like, this guy's nuts. He's missing it, because we didn't want kids. But yet now we have our two kids, and they're the best things that ever happened to us. But it just wasn't applicable to our life at that moment in time. So the gift sets that have lied dormant in the church, I believe, are coming back. They're being rekindled. We're stirring up the gifts again, and that is what's going to ignite this next revival.
Well, I think a lot of it is the one-man show wants to keep it a one-man show, and they've had their thumb really on the giftings of the body. And I think that's changing right now, because God wants the gifts to come out of his body right now. And like you said, the fivefold ministry needs to come back alive again. I want to share a little bit about last week. I mentioned that I thought it was Colombia, and I misspoke last week on a program, but it's the Cuban refugees. And we had talked about what we went out to go minister to last Saturday. And they were being held at a nice place, a camp. And we had permission to go there and go minister to them. And we took a worship team and 200 Bibles, I believe, and a lot of tracts, and just had an awesome time. A lot of ministry went on. And what was really cool is that a number of the Cuban refugees wanted to come to church the next morning. So we took a couple vans back out there to go pick them up and brought them to church. And this is, again, we're talking about the prophetic voice in the church today, that a lot of things that you didn't know these people from Adam, but the Lord, the anointing of God was there and spoke words to these people, and a lot of tears and a lot of, that time when God has your attention. These people are in a state of need and a desperation. And, when you're in a place of need, like I was when I came here, I said, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And he said, good, now you're where I want you. This is where he wants us all, but none of us will usually get us there. We don't want to get there, because it's very uncomfortable to be in that state of desperation or need. But what I see right now is that God is opening doors right now that we are here right now. God brought us here. But it wasn't about us. It wasn't for us. It was about somebody else. And this is part of the really exciting things that I'm seeing happening right now, is that since we are here, now we're in a position to minister to people that come. And this is why it's so important for you to be obedient to wherever God tells you to go, because he's trying to set you in place. It's like he's trying to get you in a place of strength in your own life so that you can help others in their weakness in that time when they need help. And the changes that God's done in all of us here in Panama has been like a forging in our lives, in our spirit, in our walk with the Lord, in our families. He's forging us through the trials that we've had to go through here. But now, in that place of forging and that strength, now we can encourage other people. And this is really exciting, because we see needs all around us now. We went to the border with Costa Rica today, and there's a number of Africans that are there, kind of what they call no man's land. They went to Costa Rica to go to Nicaragua. Nicaragua said, no, you're not coming into Nicaragua, so Costa Rica wouldn't allow them to go through. So they're stuck in Panama and doesn't want them to come back the other direction. They're in this little no man's land. But the problem is nobody's feeding them. That's and right. Red Cross is there to give them a medical supply. So we took a team this morning there and went and fed them. And it was really an exciting moment to see how we have a ability now to help people in a place of need.
Yeah, and it really is it's a unifying effect. That's one of the visions that God has placed on my heart about here is unifying the body of Christ. It's not a denominational thing. It's really breaking apart denominationalism and unifying the body. We're one body under one God, and that's an awesome thing is when we're able. It's amazing how crisis and times of persecution draw people and the church together for one reason. And I think that's why and how God starts to unify. You know, mentioned the Cubans coming to church and, you know, it was a now word for this season. And they needed to hear a word from the Lord. It was very important and impactful to give a message of hope, but also, they're looking that God hasn't abandoned them. God hasn't forgotten about them. And, so he spoke to them very specifically and, very purposefully at that time. So, but it wasn't this church or my church or anything else. You know, it was the church coming together, unifying the body, and then being able to serve, the body of Christ and his kingdom. So
that's right. I was just thinking the reason why God wants to get us so established in our walk with him and our ears for him is that there's more crises going to begin to happen all over the world. They're going to even happen right there in the United States. There's going to be things that have never been a problem before become a problem. And if we don't have our act together in our own life, we will not be the solution in these times of crisis. One of the things that the Lord put on my heart here about 6 months ago, he said to me that you've saved for the future. And he said, the future's now. And I realized what I needed to do. Actually, at a service there was a woman, Helga Prose, had a prophetic word. She was looking off in the distance. And she said, I see the rain is coming. There's rain that's coming. And as soon as she said those words, I heard the Lord say to me, it's time to get your seed in the ground.
That's right.
And I realize now that we have been storing food, been growing food, growing fish. We're doing things right now because there's going to be a need for that in the future. And if you don't plant your seed today, you will not get your harvest tomorrow. You know, this is today's the day. If the Lord speaks to you to do something, you have to do it today. The seed has to go in the ground because it takes a while to get the harvest from that seed.
I've got
a greenhouse now and you know, I mean, you got a little wait there between the time that you plant a tomato plant and the time you're eating tomatoes. And you better, the sooner you get it in the ground, the better.
Well, and I mean, we think of that as the natural food or the natural seed. I mean, it's the same with, well, we'll help that people. We'll help those people later or whatever. But, you know, now's the time to move, whether it's evangelistic. God is stirring up the gifts for a purpose. And if your gift is growing, if your gift is being able just to be able to sow into ministries, now's the time to do that. And, you know, if we had more time, I'd tell you, you know, read through 1 Timothy and read through that first chapter. It speaks of why there is why that gift needs to be stirred up and why it's laying dormant. The reason gifts lay dormant is because of fear. So we have to begin to realize that there is a spirit. There's a spirit of fear and a spirit of intimidation coming against the church, and it's causing the church to lay dormant. And now is the time to stir up that gift. Stir up the gift, and not wait on the pastor, not wait on somebody else to sow that seed, but we get stirred up. We get become proactive. The church has stood back and been silent for too long, and that we have to become a proactive church, a proactive movement, and begin to rise up as one body.
Yeah. You know, I look back now about a year ago, we began to work toward getting a large tract order. And last September, we had it shipped here, about 180,000 tracts, I believe, and mostly Spanish and English. And I'm finding, I mean, we've been so many opportunities that we've had to use this, but now all of a sudden I'm finding that the people that are coming, the refugees, actually speak French and Portuguese. And so I'm now lacking tracts. In fact, If you're listening right now and you'd like to donate for the next tract order, we're going to make another order with the Portuguese and French tracts, because there's many people there that that speak only those languages. So there's a PayPal button on Strength for the Journey, and that everything that's going to go in that donation there is going to go straight to order another set of tracts. Hopefully we can get a pretty good size order, but we're just seeing needs, and I'm realizing now's the time. If we don't get those things happening, because it takes time. Like right now, if I want to make a tract order, it takes a couple months before I actually see that thing, because it's got to go to Miami, and then from Miami it's got to come here, and there's a time delay, and these people may be gone.
That's right.
By that time, so we have to strike the iron when it's hot. So these are just opportunities, and they're going to continue to happen. So, Josh, we have a couple minutes left, and I just want maybe if you'll just kind of share an encouraging word for people listening right now. Maybe they felt those gifts have been laying dormant for too long. What is as a pastor, how would you recommend maybe stepping out just to begin to operate or begin to do whatever God's told them to do? I know it's just a matter of obedience, and then something, it's like a spark that starts the whole ignition.
That's right. We have to begin to speak to the things that that we realize that's happening. And we have to first realize that it's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of intimidation that has come against it. We have to rise up and begin to speak against those things and let them know that we as the church, we as an individual are not going to lay dormant, but we're going to stir up that gift, begin to pray and begin to, even if we don't have a ministry at this time, or there's something that you can do. The fastest way to grow your ministry is begin to bless somebody else's ministry. See someone who's doing exactly what you want to be doing, get behind them, support them, and begin to break through see a breakthrough in their ministry. You do that, and God is going to see that obedience, see that and be able to advance you. But if we're not willing to do the work for somebody else's ministry, God is not going to be able to break through us.
Well, you know, that's a great word, Josh, because we were talking about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha was that man that came and supported Elijah's ministry, essentially. And then at the right time, that mantle dropped on him, and he had his ministry. But it was his blessing somebody else's ministry opened the door for his.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
So, Josh, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, Andrew. It's been a blessing.
It's been great. And I'm just excited all the things that God's going to do here in Panama. And again, he's uniting the body of Christ for his purpose, and we're going to be a powerful team.
Amen.
That God's going to do here.
Amen.
So thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with the number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I